Listen up.
Welcome to the PowerShell Podcast, the podcast for PowerShell and the PowerShell community. And now, here's your host, Andrew Plaw.
Hey, I'm Andrew Plaw with PDQ, and I've got a very cool announcement to share. PDQ has just introduced the PowerShell Scanner into PDQ Connect, and this opens up a world of new possibilities. If you're like me, you've got a pile of PowerShell scripts that solve very specific problems. You can run them, you get your answer, you save the output, and then you probably just do it all again next time you have an inkling that there's a similar problem. Well, with the new PowerShell Scanner in PDQ Connect, those scripts don't have to be one and done anymore. You can drop your script into Connect, you can run it as part of your normal scan cycle, and whatever it returns becomes actual inventory data, not just output on a screen, but this is something that you can filter on, you can group your devices based on it, you can report on this. And so instead of just kind of manually rerunning your scripts to answer the same questions over and over, your environment just stays up to date. Your devices, your data, no blind spots, the PowerShell Scanner and PDQ Connect. Learn more at pdq.com and get your PowerShell on. Have some fun with us.
Now, back to the PowerShell Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the PowerShell Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Plaw at Andrew Plaw Tech. And Wiesbaden. Oh, I'll intro you, my friend. Well, introduce yourself. Who are you?
I'm Adriano Carollo, and I'm a PowerShell enthusiast at ESUConf for the first time.
Let's go. From where? Where'd you come from?
Berlin.
Berlin, awesome. Yeah. Just took a train over here?
I did.
Nice.
How'd you come here?
Oh, you know, I flew, man.
Yeah.
I swam. That'd be a more exciting, but no.
Electric plane.
Yeah, no issues on the flight. It's been lovely here so far. It's day one. We're on Monday. I was here yesterday. Did you arrive yesterday or this morning?
I arrived this morning.
Wow. How early did you wake up?
I started at like 11. Like 11, I went from home and drove the entire night between a lot of snoring people.
Wow.
So it was kind of impossible to get any rest during that time. During the sessions today, I noticed myself to, like, my eyes just closed for some point, for some moments.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't.
I saw you. I saw you dozing in the back of my session. I saw you sleeping.
Uh-oh. I really tried. I really tried to stay attentive.
I'm just kidding. I didn't see that.
Well, you know, I actually did. I actually did.
Okay. But, good enough. Yeah. It was an interesting session. We met earlier today, which was really awesome. And we were chatting earlier in the Ask the Hive Mind, where the whole conference gets together and talks to each other and asks questions and we all answer kind of thing. And we just started kicking it off. And I realized, man, this is a great podcast. We got to stop the convo and share this with the audience, because you are a listener, so you'll get to listen to this in the future.
Yeah.
And hopefully share with others sort of what's been your experience so far. So day one, not quite over. What are your impressions of your first PSConf EU? And also for those who are watching us, we are just swinging. We're on swings. So.
We're just swinging.
That's right.
Yeah, so first day has been awesome already. Like, actually, at first, like, I did breakfast on my own, and that was kind of awkward, to be honest. But then I went to complain about some problems in my suite, and at the place where I complained, there was a guy behind me, Paul, and this guy is awesome. Like, I was hanging around with this guy the entire day from that point. So Paul. I don't know his last name right now.
Was he Irish?
Scottish.
Okay, I know that Paul.
I don't want to say.
Okay.
And that has been awesome. Yeah. Like, at first I was like, it's kind of awkward to be alone here and just, you know, but actually it just has been how you always portrayed it to be in the podcast. So I really was motivated by you to come here in the first place. Like, I wouldn't have come if not Andrew Plaw telling everyone to engage with the community and come to the PSConf EU and talk to him and be open, even as an introvert IT person. So
that's right.
Yeah,
it always pays off.
It always just,
tails all this time. I love it when I tell somebody to do something, they take a chance and it pays off. And hopefully those of you out there, somebody's going to be listening. Maybe next year they're going to come because of this interview right here.
It's worth it.
Absolutely is.
Yeah.
Got to go to in-person events if you can, especially if you're trying to be an expert. Like, you know, you, from what our conversations, you're pretty advanced with your approach. You're not going to get really enriched conversations if you're more advanced unless you're at a place like this. Exactly. It's not going to be a part of your life. You can't have those higher level conversations. So super excited you came out here, and even more so that you came up and said hi, because I know there's other people who I ran into in the past who didn't say anything, and I always regret that at the end. So shout out to you for doing that. And you were sharing about sort of this phase of your life professionally. You're pretty into PowerShell Universal, which I'm giving a talk on tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you were telling me a little bit about it. Can you share a little with the audience about sort of your spot?
Sure. So I've been using PowerShell Universal daily. And I've been also really active on the Discord channel, and that I think more than anyone else, I'm kind of shy about that. But yeah, it's awesome. It's an awesome product, and it really has allowed me as a normal system administrator to really accelerate my skill and go into web development and into this crazy deep rabbit hole where I discover stuff like JavaScript, HTML, React, and all that stuff that I never thought I would do. Like, I don't see myself as a programmer or as a professional scripter or whatever. I'm a system administrator for 4 years. So really getting the opportunity to have everything done in PowerShell syntax is awesome. PowerShell is awesome.
Absolutely. Very empowering. Are you using AI at all, or are you using that to kind of do things faster? Or
so I've been using AI, and I've been looking around like open source projects. I think Hermes is the one that I've been looking at agent-wise, but really just doing PowerShell is a passion, and it's fun. So I don't let AI take that from me. I hear a lot of people in this conference worrying about, you know, the development of AI and how it takes away kind of the actual handwork, the actual profession of coding. And I'm just at a point where I'm just not allowing that to happen for myself. So I really use AI for educating myself, like, hey, how do I do something like this? Write a template function. And then I copy paste it and try it out and tweak it until it works.
Yep. And I feel like you can't do that unless you have a working knowledge of the language, that you don't get by not doing it. You have to actually use it.
Put in the time.
Active there. That's right. So, question. So, you've been into your PowerShell journey for a little bit now. What was something that you really struggled with early on?
Syntax. Not the general verb noun stuff. That's easy. That's awesome about PowerShell. But like really understanding the operators and the .NET classes. That was like a really big hurdle for me. Even getting into using that was like a really big thing. I think I was using PowerShell as an admin for a year before I started actually doing anything with that.
Wow. Wow. And you've come a pretty far way, because I know some people, it takes them a long time to even be aware that they should learn something like PowerShell.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any language experience before PowerShell, like dabbling with something here or there? That's so wild.
I have an education as a IT assistant.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a Berlin-specific thing. But I learned a little bit of Java, but I was really bad. Like I wasn't good at programming at all. So I never thought that I would enjoy a scripting language that much as PowerShell.
Yeah,
I do it daily. Like, it's crazy.
That's wild. You enjoy it too. That's the cool thing. It's like you can do this tech thing. It's fun.
Yeah,
and you get paid for it. It's like a nice little fusion. PSU, PowerShell Universal. What is your favorite feature in it? Before we get into the favorite feature, there was actually a new release that was released today.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So I only have been like in a 15-minute conversation from a presentation from Adam Driscoll.
Mm-hmm.
And he really showed off this elaborate workflow where it's just awesome. You know, there's some filing, and I'm sure it will come soon, but essentially you can have a script and the output is piped to the next one. So the concept of PowerShell, like the piping and the dynamic stuff, is getting elevated to the next level, where also AI is getting integrated now. Because There's like a new tab, like intelligence or something, mm-hmm. and you can define your AI provider and the skills. And then you just go. And PowerShell Universal is not only like the scripting, ultimate scripting platform now, it's also a MCP server that integrates into your domain if you have everything set up. And that's awesome.
That's wild. I need to go meet with my co-presenter in a little bit here and decide if we want to show that off tomorrow during our presentation or not.
Do it.
Kind of wish you would have more time to prepare, but hey, living in the moment.
Yeah.
What talks did you go to today? Anything stand out?
Definitely the PSU stuff, because I'm obsessed with that app, if you couldn't tell. But the entrance from Jeffrey Snover, I think, that was awesome. He really showed off how the AI development is affecting PowerShell and like how really these workflows can be used as PowerShell experts, how we can utilize this to get us to the next level and what is important in this new age of AI.
Hmm. Yeah, he's been thinking about that a lot. Yeah. I'm pretty pleased that we have him part of our community and also sort of paving the way at Harvard and spending a lot of time just thinking about it, because he really does have a good brain when it comes to looking at things from a very high level. There's not many people with the experience that he has, let alone the perspective, so very cool. I'm glad he was able to share that with us. Check that out on YouTube whenever it goes up. But next question. When you came here, is there one person, and first of all, have you met Adam Driscoll yet? Did you say hi to him?
I said hi to him when right before he had the 15-minute talk about the new version. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really get the opportunity to really talk to him.
Cool. Well, I'll just make sure the next time he comes by, we'll be like, hey! Because I'm sure he'd love to chat with you about how you're using PSU.
Yeah.
What are your expectations for this week? I know you're having a good time so far. Are you expecting to like leave with new things to do, new inspiration, new friends?
Definitely.
Networking, like where's your head at?
So building relationships is like the most important thing in my life right now. I'm really starting my entrepreneur career, and people just accelerate your progress, and it's awesome. I've met a lot of awesome people, and it's super easy to get into conversations with other nerds. I love nerds, and just talking about the stuff you love is awesome. And I don't know if it's the same for you, but like in my personal life, there's no one that cares about PowerShell automation or scripting at all.
Nope.
So it's really a lifetime opportunity for me right now, for the first time, to be here, meet all these awesome people that actually I know have the same interests. So yeah. Striking up a conversation is super easy.
Yeah, it is. And it's cool to be around like your people for the first time who've sort of, you know, we spent time alone thinking about the same stuff for a very long time and loving it and having it change our lives and careers, which is so weird to say about a programming language and community around it. It's like, just doesn't seem like it should work that way. But time and time again, it proves that really the people and the community is just really what makes it pop. The amazing language around it helps as well. Which you were mentioning Snover, and he's a big reason of why the vibe and PowerShell community is the way it is because of his leadership skills. So I've tried to learn as much as I can from Jeffrey Snover. But question for you. If you could choose a location for PSConf EU next year, where would it be?
Berlin.
Berlin, why?
Because I don't want to travel.
That's fair. That's fair.
So I'm surprised myself that I had the courage to come here to pay for this event myself. So I thought about my last company to, you know, give me this opportunity, but it wasn't meant to be. Mm-hmm. So I spent my own money coming here, and really this guy is really motivating me, like hearing about the community and like everyone is willing to share and everyone is willing to listen. And this is really what I've been looking for in my personal life, to be honest. But it's hard without much technical people around.
That's very true, very true.
Yeah.
Let's walk and talk, okay?
Let's walk and talk.
Well, do you have any advice you want to share before we let you go and we go to dinner?
Don't be afraid to reach out to people that inspire you. Like, this is the best example. I just got inspired to reach out to him, and turns out he's a super nice guy that reacts to DMs. I wouldn't have expected him to even respond, but he responded in like really soon. And for me, that was really encouraging that like I'm also on the right path. So really seeking out connection is what we are meant to do as humans, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And this is really our unique strength. No matter what AI does, we're humans, and when we hold together, we're just unstoppable, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a fantastic point. And, you know, by you reaching out, you give me an opportunity, because the reason I do this is because I was in your... No, but I was in your same exact shoes. So what do we do with our life? We try and learn from our experiences and pay it forward. And it would really suck if I was doing all the work that I'm doing on this community stuff if no one would ever reach out. So,
exactly.
You know, it's, if I were too busy, I could always say no. You know, so people, if you're going to reach out, you think they're busy, that's okay. They don't have to respond. But if you don't take a chance, they can't respond if there's nothing there. So reach out. They don't even have to be like people you consider more notable or like have bigger followings. Anybody. You have, there's so many people with amazing modules that would love to hear from you. Almost every single module author could use more engagement from folks who are actually consuming their modules.
Mm-hmm.
So
the enthusiasm is really what drives projects.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely. Well, man, what an awesome freaking journey. Look at this. We're on a little tour here. Look at this lovely city right here. Oh my God.
Germany.
Let's go. Shout out. We're heading to dinner right now with a solid group. You know what we need to get you on before the end of this week? We need to get you on the PDQ Discord. And that's discord.gg/PDQ.
Mm-hmm. Best Discord.
That's right. That's right. Shout out to everybody out there. If you're thinking about getting engaged in the community and doing something, just do it. You'll be better for it. So we were on a great walk and we decided to stop for some food. We kind of went with the group, and I'm not gonna lie, I got a little hangry and kind of grumpy. Not grumpy, I wasn't mean, but I said, hey guys, you can come if you want, but I'm gonna stop and I'm just gonna go eat here because some folks were on a walk, an adventure. And I said, this is my adventure right here. And you decided to join me. And so we're taking this this to a dinner pod now. We're not just swinging. Now we're sitting in lovely downtown, I don't know if this is downtown or not, Wiesbaden.
I wouldn't know as well. I'm terrible at geographics.
But it's nice wherever we are.
It is nice.
We're enjoying it. So we were kind of done with botting, but then you were going to ask some good questions. And I was like, ah, man, if you're going to ask them and you've listened before, other people probably have the same questions. So let's get into it. You had some questions for me because you've listened to the pod a lot. And maybe I haven't filled you in enough on some of my details. So what questions do you have?
So I've not been there forever. Like, I've joined like a year or 2 years ago. So I'm really interested, like, you always interview these nice people, but like, who are you? How did you get into IT?
Yeah, great question. So how did I get in IT? Well, when I was about 18 or 19 years old, I needed to get a job short term so I could like survive, and then long term make more money. So I actually became a dad at 19. So I was like a young dad and very early in life kind of thing. And that's why I got into IT, right? Knowing I could one day make six figures if I learned how to code and all this other kind of stuff. That was the goal at the time. And then got started, figured out you can, back in the day, it was like get your CompTIA A+, your Net Plus, your Security Plus, and you're guaranteed a job. And I did. I got like my Net Plus and my A+. And I don't know if I had Security Plus or not, but there was somebody, you know, Reddit. Someone posted on Reddit in my town, and they're like, hey, looking for an IT intern. And I'd already almost finished my entire IT program at college, and I was ready to make $10 an hour, you know, working in IT. And so I got my start there unofficially. And then it's sort of the rest is history. You know, I've always been trying to do a good job. I really enjoy, like a lot of us, learning new things and being challenged. And that's all IT is. Eventually, then got more into PowerShell and all kinds of good stuff after that. But yeah, initially, I just had a need to have a career. And I play video games, so I'm like, oh, it kind of is a good fit. I could see myself doing that.
Were you also like troubleshooting your own setup stuff?
No, honestly, I recently came to the conclusion that, man, I've come a long way, because there's this thing, this music software called Fruity Loops. It's basically a way to make music. And back in the day, I got a version of it for a trial. I couldn't even figure out how to make the audio devices or how it all worked then. So was I troubleshooting stuff? I mean, yeah. Was it working? No.
Windows or Mac?
I was on Windows for sure. Forever until recently. It's too expensive. And it's also such a closed ecosystem. And PowerShell didn't run on it. So yeah, never had a need to get a Mac as a kid. but Windows all the way until I switched.
Very interesting. I really want to know, what is your take on AI? Like, currently there's a lot of controversy going on, and are you more like the type of AI optimist, or are you kind of pessimistic about that kind of deal?
I think cautiously optimistic maybe is a good way to say. Do I have the most confidence that everything's going to go swimmingly? No. Mm. No, I think there's definitely some risk. And I think all people who are involved in the AI conversation view that there is some kind of inherent risk. Yeah. I am optimistic in the sense that maybe, you know, people will figure it out. I'm a big believer in learning from our mistakes, and it's a world we've made plenty, so maybe we'll learn from them and make things better. Or maybe, you know, it'll come time for AI to prove its value versus cost. And I think we're sort of like, you know, AI is going to start turning the gears and making things more and more expensive and prohibitive. And then we're really going to see the cost benefit of these things. But it's so new right now and it's so inexpensive. People are playing around for essentially free, right? Like 20 bucks a month is no money for a business. But as time goes on, that's going to change and they're going to increase prices more. And I think they have done that in some areas, like GitHub Copilot, I think increased prices and wasn't really met very favorably. Everyone who was using it before, at least a lot of people I heard, you're using it before, getting a great deal on credits, then switched, and now you can't use the tool you've come to rely on. So that's a long way of saying, we'll freaking see, man. But I do feel fortunate that we get to experience new technology. Not that it always works out for the best, but there's a lot of change. It keeps my brain very busy. And it makes me rethink about what is the PowerShell podcast?
Yeah. Right? Do you think that's going to see some evolvement soon? Evolvement?
The podcast or PowerShell?
Yeah. No, the podcast.
Yeah. I think, in some ways, it's kind of already named the PowerShell podcast, so it has to be really based on that. But what do we do with PowerShell? Well, we don't just learn how to do PowerShell. We learn how to automate solutions and think about systems and all the things that are incorporated in that. Yeah, PowerShell's the language we use to do that, but it's systems engineering, it's that kind of thing. And going through the PowerShell journey, you gain those skills. And at the end of it, your brain is structurally different. So I think there's some absolute value in learning PowerShell or another tool that fits well for you. But I don't think we need to learn all the nitty-gritty details quite as much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least in my brain, registry stuff is just annoying. The keys, the values, the whatever. My brain doesn't want to remember that unique thing that's only related to registries that I mess with, like, probably 12 times a year.
Yeah.
So AI, I'm just going to rely on it for that forever. It's just like, hey, give me change this registry setting. I can view that it's right. So I could see it being very helpful in terms of making you move faster and get more done. But yeah, I don't think it's going to fully replace, or I need to fully change the podcast to accommodate it. I just think that as the language change that we use, like PowerShell is not a good word to describe what we're doing. It is, but it's also not. Like, it's just the language we use. The way we can think about problems and solving them is a little bit less tied to the language, especially as time goes on. There's so many great options of tooling out there.
But definitely.
What do you think?
I think regarding the podcast or regarding AI?
Both, like the podcast, PowerShell and AI.
So obviously I'm in the podcast for PowerShell because I'm obsessed with that language. It's also the only language I know. So skill issue on my part. But you know, with AI, it really, I think it just changed the way of how we as humans make research and how that has accelerated. I used to look up stuff on blogs, and who says that blogs are 100% reliable, right?
Absolutely.
And now it's AI, and who says AI is 100% reliable? And the end is like the process of figuring it out is still there. Yep. Right. And, you know, people are kind of hyping up the agentic use and whatever. And I see it. And I've been kind of using it as well. Maybe not on this like enterprise level. But for me, just coding is just joy of life. And I just don't want AI to take that away from me. And I don't let it. So, you know, I use AI for research. I use AI for developing myself. And to show me how to write syntax. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I've been into self-hosting a lot recently, and AI has been super helpful in helping me to set up fail to ban, specific rules to ban certain things. Like, I don't want to get into too much detail right now, but
Yeah, it has been awesome. Like, I don't think I could have managed it to do it in such a small time, like literally 4 hours yesterday, right? So I don't have anything to complain about that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting how it can make things better. There's also some ways it'll make things worse. I think people are always going to be involved. And people who've leaned into how to think about problems, who've leaned into learning how to communicate and like understanding themselves and how they fit into a business and business problems and all that stuff, storytelling, those people I think will continue to be successful forever. The type of person who would be into PowerShell enough to pursue a podcast about it, or that type of person is going to continue to be successful.
Exactly.
Because most people are not that. That is a very small percentage of the world.
It's enthusiasm.
That's right. It is. Yeah. And I think I love highlighting when things aren't just, oh, someone is so great. It's not. We see things this way. We see the value that we get from the language. We feel the good feelings that come from it. Mm-hmm. It's not this kind of thing where we're just all hopes and dreams. We get to feel it, and it is very tangible.
Yeah. And it's also only like a limited perspective, right? Like, there's not only like sunflowers and rainbows, or yeah, however the saying goes.
Yes.
But there's also like a lot of bad things coming from AI. And like, I would really like to hear, is there any change that you would like to see in the current AI trend? Like this, okay, development, a lot of people are really like thinking, okay, this is kind of getting obsolete and like vulnerabilities are getting found fast. Like, what is your opinion on that? Is that a good thing or is that a worrying thing?
I mean, worrying, I guess, slightly, but I feel like it's the same tools can be used for defense, can be used for attack. So that's the same kind of thing as always. If you look at, I did my talk on PowerShell security stuff. You know how many amazing offensive security tools are out there just ready to be picked up for folks? There was a time when that wasn't the case. And it was a huge deal of like, oh, we're making these available publicly so the attackers can use them. Why would a defender do that? And there was that whole kind of rigmarole for a while. So maybe this will be like that.
Yeah. But the bad people already had access to it. It's just now also the blue teamers have access and can test really if they're resilient or not.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
This is also what you showed off today, like with the DeepScript logging, if you're set up correctly. And that's like the really beautiful thing. Like making technology accessible is really the strength of PowerShell. Yep. And
No, that's what I love about PowerShell. And it also takes you, you know, it meets you where you are. You can be a total noob.
Exactly.
And be using PowerShell. Could you be a total noob and be using JavaScript?
Hell
maybe,
no.
Maybe, but I mean, it's like, it's not, you have to install all this stuff. If you're on Windows with PowerShell, it's already there. That takes a huge burden for beginners off. Because that stuff can be confusing. Setting up VS Code also can be confusing for beginners. If you can remove those hurdles, you're already going to cater to a much wider audience.
Yeah. The living off the land principle is really lowering that entry level for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
And like, I remember when I was starting out on PowerShell, like I told you, I did a little bit of JavaScript in my education and I was really bad. Like I had zero confidence. But as time went on and I had like challenges that my mentors kind of confronted me with and said, hey, you need to use PowerShell. Right? That was the best thing that ever happened. And yes, I complained. I complained a lot. This is so annoying. I don't get it. This is taking too much time. I could just do this with the GUI. Nope, don't do that.
Yep. Now you've learned a whole ton and you can't imagine a world where you'd go back and unlearn all this stuff because so much is built on that changed perspective that you've had for a while now. So yeah, I love that stuff, man. What do you think about the pod? Because I try and find a mixture of like technical topics and also the kind of more community encouraging kind of stuff. What do you find with the podcast? Is it a good mix?
I think it's awesome. Like every time I tune in, it's something different. It's someone different. Not every time it's someone different, but like it's different topics. And this is really what is also like a strength. Like I listen to a lot of podcasts, but you know, obviously they don't really interest me as much as my passion language PowerShell, right? So this is like perfect. And I'm sure this is the same for other folks as well. Like it's about PowerShell. It's about the people that use PowerShell, and that's the most important thing. I think you're on a great path, and keep doing what you're doing. You're awesome.
Hey, same to you, man. Same.
Cheers.
It's great to be around other people who are, you know, we're all on our own little path, getting all of our own little wins. I have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
What are you into outside of PowerShell? So like you love PowerShell. What about outside of that?
Okay, I'm gonna be honest. I wake up in the morning. I go to my computer. I start it. I do Portman compose up and my Docker boots up PowerShell Universal and I just start going.
So playing around with it.
Playing around, making my business stuff, making web apps, learning a bunch of stuff about things I never thought, like JavaScript, what the hell is that? React, what the hell is that? And I mean, I had like a 3-hour lesson about HTML and I got nothing. But now AI makes everything super accessible. And this is like also a big thing for me. Like I'm a dyslexic. I don't want to read through the entire documentation until I can start. Like I need an easy entry and from there I can like swing myself to from progress to progress, right?
Yep.
This is how you learn. And it's awesome. I think we have never been in a better place to learn stuff. And the accessibility stuff is really what gets me going. Yeah.
No, it's very empowering. It's very empowering when you can help someone get to where they wouldn't maybe otherwise be able to go. It's been empowering me in a lot of ways in terms of like keeping track of knowledge, right? Like if I implement something in my life, I can just quickly blurt something to my phone and have AI create a Notion page that includes my dumb lab setup or whatever it is. Because I don't know about you, but I go through life and I'll get into one hobby for a little bit and I'll get some whole, I got my whole music thing set up, all this. I'll move along, come back 3 months later, like, oh crap, I got to spend a whole week relearning all this. If you have it documented, you don't have to. My favorite thing about AI though, maybe not my favorite. The recent thing I've done that has been such a game changer, talking, like just recording, using a thing called Whisper. There's a few implementations, but you just talk to your phone and it captures what you say and I don't have to type. Yeah. I'm a very fast typer. Compared to most people, I'm very fast, but it hurts. Like if you type all day long, your fingers start to hurt, there's issues with it. I can just whisper to this thing and it translates it. I mean, you know with the AI stuff, wherever you press the record button, mm-hmm. there's some that are trained like even better to be really good at that. Man, shout out to that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's other stuff that's way more impactful, but like for a personal workflow thing, like you mentioned dyslexia and just trying to, you know, for me with ADHD or whatever, just trying to get ideas out before they disappear.
Yeah.
Game changer, less context switching needed. I don't need to open up a new app to do this or that. Bloop, bloop, done.
Exactly. Before that entire hype about agentic AI was going, like AI was going, I really wanted to have like make myself like an open source personal assistant. So I don't know if you know about this, but there's like a open source project called Buzz. Mm-mm. So basically it lets you, it's just a GUI client that lets you load a bunch of open source models that decode your speech. You just hit record.
Oh, yes.
And I built an entire workflow, only PowerShell, FFmpeg, recording the stuff, detecting the silence and the logs, uploading that to Buzz, prompting Olama, and then reading it out with TTS to me, and then letting me speak again after it's done. That was like the most amazing shit. And I made it myself. And this is like really what AI is empowering to do, like really getting into this stuff.
Yeah.
And you learn so much. Like, I wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Yeah. Now, I think it's cool that a lot of those apps that would charge money otherwise, they don't really need to. Like, you can now hand roll your own real quick.
Yeah.
And wouldn't necessarily rest your entire company on it, but for like personal projects, for small things, for building something. And, you know, sometimes there are great use cases for work, but it doesn't get any better than that, though, if you can find those opportunities. So
open source is free, right?
That's right.
And by, you know, using the project, you also support it. And when you use it, you know, don't be afraid to report the bugs and help make a better product. Like, I really, you know, PSU is not open source, but I feel like I made a good impact into that program by just contributing bug reports and like making improvement requests and whatever. And thankfully, Adam has been really good with implementing good stuff into this app. Like, it's the best feeling ever to see positive change that you propagate yourself.
Mm, absolutely. And it's when you get that momentum of like seeing the positive change that you've done and you do it enough times, just the momentum is so great. It makes it easier to keep going. Like if you see these people who are maybe in the community, whatever, doing a great job, they didn't just wake up doing that. They got momentum. It becomes easier over time. You get more reps, and you're absolutely on that pathway.
It's super hard at the beginning, like always, right?
Yeah.
You gotta put in the hours, even with AI. Like at some point, you're just kind of brain fogged and you're just overwhelmed. But like this tool is like helping you to just keep going and keep going.
Well, hey, there's part two of our little interview. Great chatting with you, man. Any other questions before we let you go and we can get to eating?
I'm kind of good.
Okay, you ready? The smells are getting to you.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Have you listened to Adam Driscoll on the podcast?
Only a little bit. Like, I remember I got into PSU only because I listened to your podcast and Adam Driscoll talked about it.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, wait, I can do web apps with PowerShell? Wait, what?
Good. Oh, finally, Adam, I can send the check in the mail.
Finally, I can move on from .NET forms. Because that's what the big thing I was doing before PowerShell Universal. So,
dude. Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you, Adam.
Well, hey, shout out to Adam.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, bye, everybody. Thanks for coming. Discord.gg/PDQ. Check us out. Like, comment, subscribe. I'm at Andrew Plotek on all socials. Where can they find you, though, my dear friend?
I don't have much socials.
Oh, you have a website. You have a website.
I have a website, but I don't want to kind of publicly
disclose it right now.
If you're
in Berlin and you're looking for IT services, well, you're probably not listening to this podcast. But this is your guy. I mean, I'll put a link to your LinkedIn at the very least, right? People can connect with you there.
Sure. I go by Dynamic online. I'm very active on Discord. You can always hit me up. I'm always willing to talk about nerdy stuff. So, yeah. See you around.
Yep. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the PowerShell Podcast. The PowerShell Podcast is a PDQ production, making device management simple, secure, and pretty damn quick.